Luke chapter 1, and our text today is verse 17. Our text is verse 17. These are the words of Gabriel to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Luke 1, verse 17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." You probably have been asked this question already. Are you ready for Christmas? But in light of what we've just read here in the Word of God, a better question is, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? So many are rushing about to and fro over Christmas stuff that they totally leave out the Lord Himself, who is the very news and the Savior of this wonderful, wonderful event. There's a story of a little girl who, leading up to the Christmas time, was confused. Her mother and father were totally hassled over all the preparations from Christmas. Their nerves were on edge. They were getting cross with her. She was only little and getting under their feet and getting in the way and asking questions at the wrong time, and she was getting very little time from her own parents. That night when she went to bed, she got down by her bedside and she prayed, "Lord, forgive us our Christmases." She was so disturbed by what she witnessed in her own home that she didn't really think that Christmas was all that great an idea. We need to take our cue here from John the Baptist's ministry. He was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And being just 6 months older than our Lord Jesus, and being related to him by blood, God raised up John the Baptist as that prophet who would go before our Lord and prepare a people, and that there would be an ear for the very message and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. This angel Gabriel came to his father Zacharias with this special prediction of what John's ministry would involve. And if we may just recap here in verse 13 onward, and hear the words of Gabriel to Zacharias. "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John the Baptist's ministry was like a porch for the greater ministry of the Lord Jesus. A porch is just an entrance way where people may stand for a minute as they knock the front door and enter the home. The whole ministry of John the Baptist was very unique. It was dramatic, but it was short. He, for his bold preaching, was soon to be cast into prison and silenced. And then, of course, he lost his head due to Herod's offense as John preached against his sin. But in that short period of time, in that very dramatic ministry of this very unique man, John the Baptist, A work was done to prepare a people for the Lord. And we want to learn from John the Baptist today what is involved in preparing a people for the Lord. Because that's what our work is. That's what the work of the Christian church is. That's what the work of every professing believer ought to be. We ought to be a porch, inviting people into the life of the Son of God, showing them the way, causing them to pause from the rush of this world to consider entering into all the grace and the gospel life that is in the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to note here today, as we look at verse 17, that is our text. We will keep to the parameters of that text because there's just such a vast area of John's life. But I want you to notice that to prepare the way of the Lord, we must note that people are not ready. People are not ready. It tells us here that to make ready a people, therefore they were not ready. And this was John's first and primary work as a messenger of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He was called to beat down a pathway, to get rid of all the rubbish and all the overgrowth and all the weeds that were in people's lives, that they might find a way and be prepared when our Lord would take up his ministry. Now, I dare say that in Canada, not 1 in 100 are prepared for the coming of the Lord. No matter what the holiday tradition, no matter what frenzy there might be about this time of Christmas season, there is precious few in relation to this great country that are ready. And our work is to recognize that men need to be made ready. And you'll notice in chapter 3, verse 7, way over chapter 3 and the 7th verse, that John set himself about this task with great energy. This was his mandate, this was his mission, and he set about this work with great zeal. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized. The multitude. John was not just a minister to one or two. Indeed, his parish was great. And the people that came to hear him were many. You'll notice that he called them vipers. We'll have more to say than that a little later. But he knew that these people were not ready. Their hearts were not right with God. He referred them to those that were evil-natured. As vipers. And then he went on in that very verse to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Now, these people therefore were not ready in spite of their heritage. In the verse 8 of chapter 3, he goes on to say, "Think not that ye being the children of Abraham are safe," even though the people to whom he ministered were Jewish. Could trace their heritage to their father of the faith, Abraham. Yet, they were not ready. They were wicked and evil, and he warned them to flee from it. And even though they were religious, many of them, yet they were not ready. And in chapter 3:8, you'll notice that John preached to them the need for repentance. Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. And so these people were very far away from being prepared for the coming of the Lord. And before they could know the saving power of the Lord, they must realize the condemning power of the law. And that's the key to every gospel preacher. Before you preach the love of God, you must preach the law of God. Or at least, while you preach the love of God, you must also emphasize the law of God. That all have sinned and come short of keeping that law of God. And men, by nature, are not ready. When I read the old preachers, and especially the Puritan preachers, they spent a lot of time preparing people to make them aware that they were anything but ready for the coming of the Lord. Now I want to give you a little sample of one Puritan preacher, a man called William Secker. And if you've been receiving Grace Gems devotionals, you may be familiar with this author. But he was a Puritan preacher way back in the 1600s. And I just want to give you a little sample of what it was like to be sitting under the ministry of a Puritan preacher. Now remember, these men were the men that God used to awaken a nation to the cause of Christ. And God blessed them abundantly. Let me give you a little sample. Though there are many professors who are not true believers, yet there are no true believers who are not professors. As trees are known by their fruits, so believers are known by their works. Such as have received Christ's bounty are unwilling to fight under Satan's banner. There are many who claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Man is not what he says, but what he does. For a man to say what he does and not do what he says is to resemble those trees which are full of leaves but void of fruits. Or those barns wherein there is much chaff but no wheat. There is a difference between chaff and wheat, says the Lord. Ah, how intolerable will the punishment of those professors be who have appeared as burnished gold to men and are found only base metal in the sight of God. What will it profit to put off the old manners and not put off the old man? A snake may change its skin and yet preserve its sting. I thought that was very relevant here because John the Baptist preached, "Ye are vipers." And of course, a viper that is hatched out of a cockatrice egg may appear to be very innocuous and harmless, but the poisonous sting is there. And men may appear on the outside to be somewhat moral, to be somewhat religious, and they may convince themselves that they are right with God, but within there is this poison of sin. Note in Luke 3:11 how John the Baptist warned of what happens to the tree that brings forth evil fruit. Now what I'm doing here, I maybe should have set up what exactly I'm doing here. Gabriel gave to his father Zacharias an announcement before his birth. John was born, then our Lord Jesus, approximately 6 months later, was born. Both men grew to manhood, to 30 years of age, commenced their ministry. So John commenced his ministry prior to the Lord. And what we have in chapter 3 is the actual ministry of John the Baptist, the style of his preaching, the content of his preaching, and how he went about fulfilling this mandate to prepare the hearts of the people. Now, he didn't preach to them nice things and tell them they're all fine. You're doing well. He spoke to them that they needed repentance. They needed to be changed. And so he said to them here in Luke 3, verse 9, let me turn the page here, chapter 3, 9. "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire." This was the ministry that John exercised with great power and spiritual success, godly success, by which men were prepared to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now this is a solemn warning. There must be a confession of the evil fruit of our lives. There must be an acknowledgement that we have broken God's law, and that out of our old lives there is but filthy rags. And so there needs to be the bringing forth of true repentance. And the issue is that unconverted men are not ready for heaven, nor ready if the Lord should come again. This is the ministry of John the Baptist. And if I am to take my cue from his example, I must warn Canadians and this congregation, and wherever God may give me opportunity to preach his word, that by nature you're not ready. There needs to be a work of grace in your heart. There needs to be this dramatic change, this spirit of repentance born in your soul, so that you are ready to receive the Lord into your life. You see, a person who's not convinced of sin will never see his need of the Savior. And there are many around us today that the first thing that must be done is to convince them of their immediate, urgent need of the Savior. We must call them to flee from the wrath to come, not to remain and keep on doing what they're doing. If they do, they'll perish. That's the fearful, fearful truth that we discover right here in the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, another thing is that to prepare the way of the Lord will use a suitable instrument or messenger. There are two things about John the Baptist that stand out. Number one, he was fearless. And secondly, he was faithful. And if we could be those two things under God's grace, I think God may be able to use us to prepare men the way of the Lord. You'll notice what Gabriel said back here in verse 17. It says, "He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." Now, Elias is the Septuagint, the Greek spelling or rendering of the old Hebrew name Elijah. This is the Elijah, this prophet that was out in the wilderness. And there are similarities between Elijah and John the Baptist. Many similarities. They were tough men. They were not weaklings. And they certainly were men that were willing to tackle the issues of the day. Elijah preached in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. He's the one who preached against the prophets of Baal. And he challenged the 400 prophets to a contest. Elijah was the man that was fearless in his preaching against ungodliness and sin. And John the Baptist, likewise, as we learned there in chapter 3, when the multitudes came around him and he warned them that they were vipers, we see here a man that was fearless in his preaching. And then, of course, John the Baptist got himself into awful trouble with Herod. Herod was the man of authority in that day. And he even preached against his sin. And for that he paid a tremendous price. But he still was the messenger that God used. And we preachers today can't always preach with nice words. Yes, it's good to have words that are fitting, words that are accurate, words that do not dig up ugly things unnecessarily. But nevertheless, we have to call a spade, and we have to preach the truth, and we have to be willing to warn men, you keep on living the way you're living, you'll perish. You'll come under God's wrath. That's how he preached. You'll notice also that he was faithful, fearless and faithful. In Luke 3, verse 4, you'll find that he did exactly what he was given a mandate to do. Luke 3, verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." That was his ministry. That was the spirit that this man was about. And he kept himself pure from the religious orders of the day, and he preached in the lonely parts of the wilderness, out by Jordan. He kept away from the Judaism of Jerusalem and all the traditions and all the corruption of that false religion, that he might have a faithful ministry, that he may not be bound by the laws and the restrictions of the religious orders of the day. John the Baptist was called of God to do a unique work, and he went out by God's grace to a lonely place, and there he preached faithfully. Now you'll note that there was a great drawing power in that ministry, because the people came out to him. This is the strange and an unusual thing. Most preachers want to go where the people are, but John the Baptist went out into this lonely spot, and the people came out to where he was. A multitude, we're told, they came to hear the ministry of John the Baptist. There was such drawing power. And surely we learn something here, that if we have a ministry that is from God, that there will be drawing power. And God will give men, women, a heart to seek after the Lord. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus himself came out to John the Baptist. And he came to John and to Jordan and requested that under his ministry he would be baptized. What an honor that was. If ever we could say that a man had the stamp of God's approval, it was John. When the Lord Jesus came and said, I want you to baptize me. And you know how John took that. He took it humbly. He said, Lord, I need to be baptized of you. But the Lord insisted, let it be so now. Suffer me that I fulfill all righteousness. And what an example this was. A fearless ministry and a faithful ministry. Let's apply that to our own lives and our own service for the Lord. God wants us to be bold, honest, preach the truth at all times, and with a faithful ministry, we will have God's blessing. We will have God's spirit. We will have God's power. Now, I want to be that messenger, and I want you to pray that God will give us that boldness, that fearlessness. Because let me tell you, it doesn't come naturally. It's not of man. Man would prefer the easy way, the smooth way, the way that might placate and please men. But God wants us to have that honest, faithful, bold ministry. And therefore, we must keep to the book. Whatever others do, we're going to keep to the book. Whatever others do, we're going to keep to the gospel of saving grace through the work of the Lord Jesus. And God will use us to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. That's what this is about. That's what church life is about. Preparing a people for the Lord. Now back to our text, Luke 1:17. I want you to notice thirdly, to prepare the way of the Lord demands a change in men's hearts. Gabriel said to Zacharias that this son, John, that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the wise. Now, this turning of fathers' hearts to children, you'll notice something there, that was a non-natural hardness. The love that ought to be within a family, of father to sons, and I suppose likewise for sons to fathers, and that bond and that friendship and that kinship that ought to be in families, sin destroys it. Greed comes in. Envy, selfishness, jealousy. And in our society, drink and drugs and vice and the iniquities of this world destroys homes, destroys families. Today, our social services foster care program is overburdened. Dysfunctional families abound. And where the gospel is rejected and where the word of God is denied, this trend grows. John the Baptist was sent with a ministry that would heal and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and that we would have godly homes. What is a godly home? God-like, where the love of our Heavenly Father is reflected in the love of a good man, a godly man, who can love his wife and love his children, be a father, guide, protector, strength to them. What a blessing. And that's what the gospel does. That's what the gospel does. Because it changes hearts. It doesn't just throw money at it. That's the government ways of fixing things. God's way of fixing problems is to change hearts. And that's what John was sent to do. That's the ministry that he was given. And of course, we want to see people give up the squabbles and the fights in homes and that bitterness that can come in even between family members, and how bitter that is, and what tears it causes, what heartache it brings. Children, young people running away from home because they're full of hate. Hearts that were and ought to be together are divided. And sometimes parents who become very bitter toward their children. The gospel does a healing work. Now, you can't change yourself. Men cannot change themselves. And that's why we need the gospel. That's why we need to preach this gospel message into all the world. It's the hope of every home. It's the hope of every heart. Because while men cannot change themselves, Christ can and does. And this is the hope. And this is the message that prepares men the way. You'll notice also in that verse 17 that this change is demanded because of rebellious hearts. It says about the hearts of the children to the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. That reminds me of Adam. Adam knew what was right. Adam knew what pleased God. But through temptation and sin, he disobeyed. And men in this world are all sons of Adam. They know the truth, perhaps. They have a conscience to tell them what's right and wrong. But there's a spirit of rebellion. And that is why men need a new heart. And if you are to meet God and to live with God, you would be contemned by that spirit of pride, that rebellion of your own heart. But those who are ready for the coming of the Lord have had a heart change. Those who are ready for the coming of the Lord are born again. They have been renewed. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Have you had that heart change? Can you say that the spirit of rebellion, you have surrendered your all to Christ? That your heart is now prepared, changed, and you're ready for the Lord. You'll notice, and I may be splitting hairs here. Please forgive me for that. Preachers do that, you know. After all, how do you get all this information from one little verse? We have to put the magnifying glass on every word. That's what you call expounding the scriptures. Expanding the things. Things that are not at first very obvious. But when you look at it long enough, you notice something. And you notice something here. That everyone that has a prepared heart is turned to the wisdom of the just. Did you notice that? Their hearts are turned from hardness and rebellion to the wisdom of the just. What is that? That's holiness. The wisdom of the just. God is just. He is upright. He is perfectly straight. And when you are saved and regenerated and born again by the Spirit, your heart loves holiness. Things that are right and good and true. Now, if you follow this through to chapter 3 and begin at verse 10, you'll notice that there are three questions that people came to John the Baptist with. In fact, they are the same question three times over from different groups of people. In verse 10, you have the people asking him, "What shall we do then?" What is happening to these people? They're under the ministry of John. They've heard about the law that they've broken, the sin that they are guilty of. And they're saying to John the preacher, "What shall we do then?" In other words, they want to get right. They want to put things right. What did John say to them in verse 11? He answered and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise." Fairness. Fairness. Greed is put away there. Selfishness is put away there. Pride is put away there. Hearts are turned to the wisdom of the just. Then you'll notice the publicans. These are the tax collectors. "And there came publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do?" Now, it's a mighty influence at work. When the tax man is asking, "How can we put things right?" You can be sure that there is a dramatic change in a person's heart when he comes to the preacher asking, "What can we do to put our past guilt, past errors, past greed right?" The Lord said to him, verse 13, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." There is justice. It doesn't do away with the taxation of the nation. But let's do it justly and rightly. Not as many publicans did for their own greed and oppressing the people being taxed. Now the third question comes, and this is the soldiers, verse 14. "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Here is a right spirit of holiness. And everyone that claims to be a Christian, everyone who makes a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, everyone who says, "I've repented of sin," will love justice, promote justice, and live the life of following justice. That is what our Lord said, our John the Baptist said here to these people. Now, is it true that as a result of your conversion, of the faith that you have found in the Lord Jesus, that you have a heart to do the right before God and before men? Anyone who says to me, "I don't care about the right or the wrong. I don't care about the truth or the lie. I don't care about my dealings with men, if they be fair or honest," we'd have to say that man has not repented according to a gospel repentance, but is still in the power of sin. This is what is called for, to prepare men to prepare for the Lord. You must love righteousness, do justly, and walk humbly with your God. Now, a final point, as I look at this text again, to prepare men for the Lord, they must be called to faith in Christ. John, of all that he preached Jesus, the Lamb of God. This is his text right up here. John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God." John didn't stop at the law. He didn't stop at men's sin. He preached the Savior, the Redeemer. And of course, he said, I must decrease. Christ must increase. And that was true, of course, because John the Baptist's ministry was soon over and the Lord Jesus took over. John was the porch to preach Christ, to present the way to men, that they might be redeemed and saved by the power and the grace of the gospel. In one verse it says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. John preached the Lord Jesus, and he called men to faith in the Lord Jesus. That word behold means to gaze upon him, means to consider him. It means to delight in what our Lord Jesus has accomplished as the substitute redeemer for sinners. To prepare men for the way of the Lord, they need faith in the Lord. You could never say that a man is prepared for the coming of the Lord if he doesn't believe in him, if he hasn't called upon the Lord to believe and trust on him. And just as the Lord was promised to come into this world as an infant, he's promised to come again in glory. And he's coming for all his believing people. Can you say today that you are prepared? You're ready? You have repented? You have your faith looking unto the Lord Jesus, beholding, gazing upon him? Or do you have to say today, my heart is hardened? It's rebellious. Well, today God has sent a messenger to warn you. I have taken my cue from John the Baptist. You're warned. If you have not repented and become a real living believer in the Lord Jesus, you'll perish. You'll perish. Your death will be the gateway to hell. You are called to flee from the wrath to come. And if you're not saved today, this is the urgent need. And you're invited to come. Behold the Lamb of God, which could also be lay hold of the Lamb of God. Have you done this? Has your life been changed? Do you love holiness? Can you say that you've a new heart? Once you were darkened, worldly and careless, but the gospel has changed you. Then I'm looking at one who is ready, prepared, going home to glory. And as we learned in our memory verse, that if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him. Praise God for this gospel. Now we've learned something from John the Baptist. Let's go into the world and preach it. The sermon is only half over, by the way. Oh yes, we're getting out now. But we all have to go and live this. Each one. Every opportunity we get. Lord, make me a messenger to prepare men for the way of the Lord.